Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayemi, Maseches Erechin Daf Yudalet. We begin at the brand new Perek at the Mishnah, which is seven lines from the bottom on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Yesh be'erechin lahokel ulahachmer. In matters of erechin, you can have kula and chumra. You can be easy and difficult, which means to say that the erech system is based on a fixed flat rate as set forth in the Torah, based on gender and age, irrespective of the person's actual market value. So if you pledge a certain person's erech, okay, you're going to donate that value to the Beis HaMikdash. It's not based on actual value. So even if it's worth very little, a very productive person, but if the erech prescribed in the Torah for that age group is a higher amount than his actual value, that's lahachmer. That's being strict. And it goes the other way, lahakel. Suppose he's really worth more than the actual rate in the Torah. In this case, you're getting away with less. So it can go either way, up or down. Yesh be'erech and lahakel lahachmer. Right? Because whenever you have a fixed rate, unlinked to the actual value, well, then if luck, it can go both ways. It can be a kula or a chumra. Another example of this type of fixed rate system, unrelated to actual value, is the rate that the Torah prescribes with respect to buying back a sadeh achuza. A sadeh achuza is a field which is family owned. It's an estate. And you are magdish it. You gave it away to the Beis HaMikdash. And you come back to redeem it, to buy it back. There's a set rate. 50 shkalim per an area called Beis Zera Chomer. So a place you can plant. A Chomer is a kur, huge amount, 30 sa of Sarim. So barley. So it's a fixed rate, irrespective of the actual productivity of the farm or the market value of the field. So once again, it can end up being a kula. It can be to your benefit, or to your, or more expensive than you expected, right? Another example, ubeshar hamod, shehei misaeved. You have a habitual gorer, an ox who's known to be dangerous, and goes and kills an eved, a slave. Fixed rate, 30 shekel. Irrespective of the Eved's actual market value, lahakel lahachmer. So again, it can be a kula or chumra depending on his actual value. Another example, a person forces a woman to interact with him or convinces her. So there is a fixed fine, 50 shkalim, v'maitzi shemra, or if a fellow spreads false information about his wife. So once again, these are fixed rate penalties, lahakel lahachmer. It can sometimes be less than you expected or more than you expected because it's a flat rate. And now we go back to the first example and explain it. So we said, Yesh be'erechin, in terms of erechin, sometimes it can be up or down. Lahakel, ulahach merketa, for example. Echad she'erech es anosh b'Yisrael, whether you pledge the erech of the most striking person, the most impressive amongst the Israel, who theoretically could be worth more than the erech of the Torah, ves hakar she'b'Yisrael, or the most ugly one of Israel, who's essentially worth less than the fixed rate. Either way, you pay out the same amount. Noisin chamishim selah. Rashi points out that's the rate for a male between 20 and 60 years old, irrespective of his productivity, of his talents, of his market value. However, v'imamari dam of alai. Instead of saying hari erech alai, which is a chamishim selah payment, he said hari dam of alai. I'm committing to his actual worth. Then, of course, noisin es shavyoi. And then he pays out the actual value to the Beis HaMikdash. Yesh be'erech l'hokel v'chul. L'hachmer keitzet echad she'erech v'chul. Mishnah refers to the subject of your erech being a Yisrael. The best, the worst, right? You pay the same amount. Yisrael in. We limited it to a Yisrael discussion. But apparently it wouldn't apply to a goy, so you can't turn the goy into the subject of your erech. You can't say erech, the goy upon me. Lema mas nisen de loik Rabbi Meir. Perhaps our Mishnah is not in line with Rabbi Meir. This now we had a Mishnah back in the beginning of the Masechta. Og gecham Rameo imer nerach. Rameo is just the opposite. A goy can be nerach. He can be deemed the subject of your erech. You can pledge his erech. Avalei marach, he himself cannot pledge. How does that work with our Mishnah, where it seems that a goy is not going to be subject of an erech? I feel a tenor a mayor. No, our Mishnah can perfectly go like a mayor. And hu adin afilav gecham nami. Truthfully, a goy can also become the subject of your erech. So why did the Mishnah prefer a reference to a yid? Ella, we turn to the next one. Milsa. Agav urcha kamashma. The Mishnah is teaching us something, by the way. Another side point. Don't get involved in praising a goy. The Mishnah wanted to highlight the fact that a fixed rate is not dependent upon his impressiveness or lack of, right? In order to get into that, the Mishnah had to refer to a yid. You're not allowed to admire a goy. You're not express admiration or praise for a goy. Because Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, as Rav taught us, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Osur. Pasuk says, Lo Yisachonim, Rashi brings on the second line, Lo Yisachonim, Lo Yisitin Lohem Chayin. You can't attribute the chayin to them, grace. You're not allowed to admire a goy on account of the person, his actions, his talents. You're not allowed to praise and admire a goy. So you have to be very careful. It's very tricky. You can refer a good plumber to, you know, for a job, but you can't actually praise the person or admire him. Certainly not to idolize him, right? Also, la'adam sheyaymar. The Rambam explains the reason for this is because it can cause a person to draw close to a goy, to be attracted by a goy, to associate with him, and to learn from his ways. So keep back, right? Also, la'adam sheyaymar. A person not allowed to express and say, "Kama noya, look how handsome Kanan is that this guy is." So in order to avoid any sort of issue of Lysachanim, the Mishnah stuck to the yid, the nicest yid, the ugliest yid, to highlight the halach. Says the Gemara, okay, you can't admire the guy, but still, listening, the Mishnah could have still said it back and forth. Esanoshi Yisrael could have contrasted the nicest Yisrael with the ugliest guy. Esachar Shabbat Kananim. That you can do, right? So why didn't the Mishnah refer to a Kanani in that context? In order to also teach us that you can make an erech on a Kanani. Says the Mabachad Umakamairi. Between Umakamairi. The Mishnah wanted to stick to one nation, not sort of go back and forth between two nations. For Lo, really, the Mishnah doesn't go back and forth between two groups of people. Vaktani. Later on, we're going to have a story about a woman. She's Hagdoyla, Shebekuna. We contrast the most prominent of the Kehanim, Vesaktana Shebe Yisrael, or the most lowly of the Yisrael. So again, we're contrasting members of two different groups. Well, it's still different. Hasam Chadomu. Over there, a Kehan, Yisrael, ultimately, it's all in the family, it's the same nation. Elo Magdishu, the Kach, Kadishi Kehan, it's Vey. True, the Kehanim have an added element of holiness. But ultimately, it's all a family. It's all the same nation. Rather than going from a yid to a guy, which is too much of a jump. Another answer why the Mishnah specified only an example of a yid, because the rest of the Mishnah applies only to a yid. So we just kept it on that same track. I did the kabbalah business safer since the Mishnah wanted to continue on and discuss sade achuza, the halach of sade achuza, which is only applicable to a yid who has property in Eretz Yisrael, etc. The Yisrael, the Mishkachasla, it only applies to a Yid, and not by a Goy. So the Labnei Achuzanin, they don't have Achuza. That's why the entire Mishnah focused on Yisrael, but truthfully, the Erech concept could apply to a Goy as well, if he's the subject of your Erech. Okay, next example, a fixed flat payout system is Bistei Achuza. And once again, it can end up being up or down relative to the actual value. For example, Echad HaMagdish B'Cholas, whether you're Magdish a field in a place called Cholas HaMachos. Cholas is surrounding, like a machos, like a circle. HaMachos is around the city, the populated area. So the land there is not so valuable, not so productive. Echad HaMagdish, or a person was Magdish B'Pardesois, of the vineyards of this exclusive place, Savasti, the highest quality area. So irrespective of the actual value, when you come back to buy it back, Noisen, how much do you pay? Zera, Chomer, Seirim, the area where you would plant a Chomer worth of Seirim, you pay a flat rate, b'chamishim shekel kesef. That's because it's a Sadeh Achuz, it's a family plot, so it runs this track. But u'b'sadeh mikna, suppose it's a purchased field, it's not really yours from way back, you bought it from someone, you magdish it. Nois in the shavi, in this case, when you buy it back, it's based on actual value, rather than the flat rate, which is limited to Sadeh Achuz. Blazer says, no, Blazer Omer, this flat rate system applies to both types of fields. Blazer Omer, echad sadeh mikna, echad sadeh achuz. So what then is the difference between the two? Ma bein sadeh achuz and sadeh mikna, any difference between these two fields? There's a slight difference. Not in terms of the initial rate, but the added fifth. Shebesada achuzah, if the owner, who is magdish, his own sadeh achuzah comes back to hegdish to rebuy it, who knows in chaymish, he adds a fifth. As per the pasuk, pasuk says, vim goy al yigal asasad v'magdish, he adds a fifth. But if it's just a besada mikna that he's buying back from the hegdish, ein knows in chaymish, he need not add a fifth. Amrafu. So although we speak about the flat rate for the sadeh achuzah, but let's say hegdish sadeh malei ilonis. He donated his field to Hagdish, but it's full of trees as well. So, question, do we work on value-based redemption, or is it based on the $50, an acre redemption, the flat rate? Shupoidem, when he redeems this, this package, the fields and the trees, so he has to write two checks. Poidei lonas b'shavyon, first he redeems the trees, in terms of their actual value. And then the property, $50 an acre. Interesting. So, Kuntar Abhunam, we look at it like two separate donations. The trees deserve their own redemption, actual value, and the karka, 50 shekel per base, Zerachim Mesayrim. Alma Kosar Abhunam, apparently Abhunam holds that he's very generous. Other magdish, when a person is magdish, by and yafa with a generous eye, magdish. And his intention was that, in fact, we should treat them as separate entities when it comes to redemption. We have a Mishnah we just learned, Echad HaMagdash B'chodes HaMachis, Echad HaMagdash B'Pardei says, okay, planted vineyards full of trees, Sabasti, how much do you pay out? Flat rate, despite the presence of those trees. Noisen Beis Zera Chaymes Erm, flat rate, B'chamishim Shekel Kesa. We don't obligate you to write two checks, one for the trees and one for the... Homer Le Ruil Pardisis Kamina. The mission doesn't mean it's full of vines, it means that it's property suitable for planting of high quality vines. But if there were actually vines there, separate check for the vines. Esvei comes another kasha to Rav Huna. You say it's two separate redemptions. Beis Zera. The pasuk says, this is the rate for the Beis Zera. Only the Beis Zera. Perhaps that only applies to a property, to a field, intended for planting, plants. What about trees, vineyards? Sadei Gifanim. Vines, Sadei Kanim, reeds, Sadei Lanim, trees, Menayim. How do we know that the same rate applies to these types of entities? Tamalema Sada. Pasuk says Sada Mukamakim, applying to all types of variations. No, so what do we see? It's just a flat rate for the entire field with its trees. No separate checks. Amalei Achinam, he says, of course you do. Poide v'chazer poide. The price didn't mean to get away with just one check. The price it meant, of course he has to redeem the trees separately in terms of value. And then $50 per acre. And the chiddush is, despite the fact that we have trees there, it doesn't change its designation, it doesn't change its rate. It's still the 50 shekel per, right? Ace becomes another kasha to Rav Huna. So the Brisa prints all kinds of variations of hegdish. Hegdish shloshei lomis. A fellow donated trees, nice big trees, planted appropriately, which means to say the appropriate, ratio. Mimata asar lebeis o. Employing a formula called Asor Lebeiso, Rashi explains. So they're planted far enough, close enough from to each other, so that if they would be 10, they would be dispersed, evenly dispersed throughout a Beiso, which is 50 by 50 amma tract of land. That's considered a properly planted tree. Not too close, not too far. In which case, Rashi says, Kol karka shebeneim tzorach lehem. It's like a, it becomes like a tree farm. They need the they need the land between them. There's no extra land, and they're not too close together. They're grown properly with the right, in the right proportion, with the right space to nurture them properly. So now the land is sort of serving the trees. It's all one big package, one big entity. So although he just donated the trees, in this case, since they have a good relationship with the land beneath them, it's really all one connected entity, and we treat it like an orchard. When you manage the trees, it comes with the property. Automatically, the property goes along to Hegdish with the little trees that propped up between the big trees. So basically, it's one big pack, one inseparable package. So now when he comes back to buy it back, Kshur Poyde, what's his rate? Poyde base Zera Chaymes Erem B'chamishim Shekel Kesef. Okay, it's 50 shekel per, base Zera Chaymes Erem. Because it's a Sada Echuzo, which has that rate. Pachas Mekano Yeser. Okay, suppose the trees were not planted in this arrangement. They're too far apart. Proportionally, it would be less than 10 per beso. Or Yosra Kane, they're too crowded. Proportionally, prorated, it would be more than 10 per beso. In this case, it's not called a Sada Ha'ilan. It's not considered a proper orchard. So true, the trees are Hegdish, but not the property. Another example, instead of being Magdish three at a time, one tree, another one, so it wasn't really presented as a package, as a Sada Ilan, like an orchard, in which case, in all these situations, so in this case, only the trees are given away, not the property, the many trees between. Furthermore, even if he ultimately gave it all away, the trees and the property, but in sequence. First the trees that were not planted in this, 10 per arrangement, just, random trees. And then he decided, I'm going to give away the property as well. So in this case, we treat them like two separate donations. It's not one package. So when he redeems, two separate checks, two separate processes. And he redeems the trees as per their actual value. Then the property, $50 an acre. So what's the kasha? Because if we go back to the beginning of the Braisa, when he was magdish the trees with the karka together, what does the Braisa say? No separate checks. Flat rate, $50 for the whole thing. As opposed to Rav Huna, who required two separate checks. One for the trees, one for the property. Perhaps he'll suggest, no, the Braisa didn't mean one check for all. Braisa meant, of course, first he has to pay out for the trees, the actual value, and then the flat rate for the property. Well, you can't say that. Well, that's already discussed in the safe in the last cases of the Braisa, right? That he does two redemptions. Mechlal, apparently, the Reisha, the first case in the Braisa, loy. Is not so. Rather, it's one payout for the entire thing. That's a kasha Rav Huna. Who says he meant generous? He meant to give it away in a manner, in a format which requires full redemption, two checks. Allah Hamani Rav Shimon, you're right. Rav Huna was going like the shita that a person is generous when he's magdish. That's the shita's Rabbana, but Rav Shimon disagrees, and his shita is what's reflected in this price. The Omar says, magdish bein ro magdish. When a person's magdish, it's the minimum. The minimum, the sadi, we find it in the Mishnah, in the Braisa. Hamagdish es hata, sadi gdish es kula. Tanakam says, when a person gives away the field to Hegdish, everything included, everything. Ayin yof, shimonai meno. Lo yigdish, so the actual land, but in terms of other features, the trees, no. Lo yigdish el, only certain specific cases, like real big veteran trees, which are sort of, it's so entangled and entrenched in the karka, yeah, that, yeah, but otherwise not. El chareb hamurkavis. carob, old carob tree, which is really ready for, you know, grafting. Asadana shikma. Shikma is a sikma, S-Y-K-M-A. It's a construction beam tree. It has a huge, multiple trunks, which are chopped and used for construction that would regrow. So it's called a sadana shikma once it's been, you know, chopped and all that. So this is an old veteran tree that's part and parcel of property, inseparable. So that goes along. But otherwise, a person just magdish, the minimum. As opposed to Rav Huna, who's going like the Shita the Rabbana, a person's very generous. So that requires a larger payout. But going to Rav Shimon, the minimum. You have Shimon. Okay, so we're going to Rav Shimon, the Brice is following his opinion. And therefore, only requiring a minimal payout to redeem it, emosef. Now we have an issue with the next part of the Brice. Veloyoy, the Brice continues. Listen to this. Furthermore, elafilu hidish elenoysef. A fellow was magdish trees. Without the property. And then he followed through with the property. Higdish karka. So really, two ways to look at it. In terms of the donation, where things were holding when he was donating, you're right, there's two separate donations. Trees are trees and property is property. But now, it's all coming together. Right now, it's one entity. Higdish owns an orchard. Land with trees. What does the Brisa say? What rate of redemption do we apply? The earlier rate. We treat them separate. We don't bundle them together as per their current status. Because when he redeems, one check for the trees, one check for the property. The tree is according to their value. The choizer comes back for another check and pays for the property. The problem is like this. It's Rav Shimon speaking. Well, we find that Rav Shimon elsewhere holds. When we have a choice, do we look at it based on where it was holding by the Hegdish or where it's holding now? According to Rav Shimon? Now, if you're Rav Shimon, Lazelbus opinion, according to Rav Shimon, we should focus on the moment of opinion, what's happening now. It's one big entity, redeem it as one field, $50 an acre. Let's redeem the trees on account of the land. Don't separate it. It's one big prime package. How do we know that Rav Shimon holds? We focus on the present status. We know that Rav Shimon holds. The Ozlobas opinion, we focus on where it's holding at the moment of redemption. Now the Gemara is sort of going to veer off to a different kind of case and we're going to make our way back to our sugya, but basically, the kasha is, why are we focusing on what was instead of where it's now? The Gemara is going to answer, well, the case that's coming up soon that highlights Rav Shimon's opinion is specific to that case. He has a pasuk, but it doesn't apply to our case. In our case, of course, you can apply the rate based on where it was during the Hegdish, and that explains the price of why he has to issue two payouts, one for the trees, one for the property, because they were donated separately. Okay, that's going to be the conclusion. In the meantime, let's find Rav Shimon. Where is Rav Shimon saying, Basar Pidyon? Shamin Rav Shimon, also Basar Pidyon. Nesanya. Menayin lekeach sodem yovev. How do we know in a case where a person purchased? He purchased a field from his father. Ultimately, he's going to get it upon his father's passing. But he bought it from him. So technically, it's a sodem mikne at this point. Eventually, it's going to be a sodem achuz. It's going to be a family. It's going to be owned. Family-owned plot. At this point, it's a field that he purchased. So the question will be, which redemption rate will be applied if he's magdish it, right? Do we treat it like a sadeh achuza? Because potentially, it's slated to become his when he inherits his father. On the other hand, currently, when he's magdish it right now, after purchasing it, technically a sadeh mikne, wasn't yet inherited. So he bought it, the Hegdisha, and gave it away to Hegdish. But then his father passed away. So technically, he inherited it. How do we treat it? Minayin. How do we know Shetel of Fanavik Stachuza? He treats it like a Sada Achuza. So we give it to him like a Sada Achuza because ultimately now it's his as a family estate. And we apply that $50 rate. Tamaloymar. We know it from this pasuk. Im estay miknosoy. Only if it's a strictly purchased field. Then we don't apply the $50 rate. Ashaloyim is Sada Achuza, which is no way a Sada Achuza. Then we go based on actual value. Soda, a field, which is not suitable, it's not fit, it has no potential to become Liyo Yisad Yachuda, then you redeem it based on actual value. Yotzuzu, as opposed to this field. Although technically he purchased it, but Shiru'uya Liyo Yisad Yachuda. Fact is, when he was Magdashit, it was already Roy. It was potential to become Sadachuza upon his father's eventual passing. In which case, we apply the 50 shekel rate. So again, despite the fact that during the Hegdish, the moment of transfer to Hegdish was not yet a Sadachuza, but the fact is right now, it is, and now he's coming to redeem it. We focus on current status, Sadechuza status. Okay, so bottom line, see, according to Pshimen, when there's a choice between looking at the moment of Hegdash or the moment of Pidyon, what do? We determine based on the moment of Pidyon. Okay, let's move on. Rameir disagrees. Rameir Aymer, that's going a bit too far. Minayin Lukea, the fact is, when he was Magdashid, it was still a Sadeh Mikna. Why would it change into Sadechuza? Rameir Aymer, rather, I'll limit it. What about a case where he bought the field from his father? Then his father died, and then he was Magdashit when it was already inherited. Okay, in this case I agree. Since it was already a Sadeh Achuza when he was Magdashit, how do we know that it has the status of Sadeh Achuza? And he redeems it based on the fixed rate. Tamalayim, return to base. Imes, stay meknos, hashalom, stay achuzasoy. The same pasuk that we mentioned, but he limits it to this case. Sada she'ena sada achuza. A sada mikna is one which is not a sada achuza. It's just purchased. It's not really his, you know, from the family. Yotzuzu, as opposed to this field, the field of today, which although he purchased it, but once his father died, she sada achuza, which is already considered sada achuza, and we treat it as such, despite the fact that he took possession of it upon purchasing. We ignore that part. It's now been converted to Sadeh Achuza, and we treat it accordingly. So again, we have a son who purchased a field from his father. His father passed away, and then he was Magdashit. That's Sadeh Achuza. So says Rameir. Rabbi Yudin Rabbi Shimon add, he said, not only in that case, even if he was already Magdashit, and then his father died, since at the moment of Pidyon, it's a Sadeh Achuza, we treat it as such. Vilu Rabbi Yudin. But according to the other opinions, afilu gdisha, v'achakach meisav. Even if he was magdashin, and then his father passed away, sada achuza, we treat it like a sada achuza. My time, why? What is that based on? It's a big chiddush. It's a stretch, right? Imishem kro is based on this pasuk. Kro, look at the Rameir with the asa. You know, from the pasuk, you can only derive the minimum. You can't stretch the pasuk beyond. You know, the minimum, the pasuk is obviously adding, right? Expanding the concept of Sadachuza to another case. Okay. At the most, you can apply it to Rameir's case. He purchased, father passed away, now it's Sadachuza, now he's Magnashit. But who's to say we could expand it to the other case as well, to Rab Shimon's case? Purchased it, was Magnashit, then his father died, too bad, too late. At the moment of Hegdash, it was a Sadeh Mikna. Ela lav mishum d'azal was a pidyon. It must be that. It's based on a logic. Rav Shimon understands that the Sadeh Achuza status is based on what's happening now when I'm coming to redeem it. And now, since it's his as a Sadeh Achuza, we treat it as such. Okay, so then back in our story with the trees and the property, why don't you look at it based on current status and treat it accordingly in one check for the whole thing. Amar Rav Mar Yitzchak, no, it's not based on logic. It's based on a diuk in the pasuk, which only applies in this case. It's not a general concept that we follow the moment of pidyon versus Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. Krash chavadarish discovered the pasuk. Krash chavadarish im kenukutz. If the pasuk is limited to Rameir's case, luchtav Rachman, the pasuk would say simply im es stei miknasa shleichu zasa es stei mikna, which is not nachuza. My mistech misade. Why add the word misade? Mistech was an extra word to highlight that sade sheina ruuya li sade achuza. Sade mikna is one which doesn't have the potential. It's not anticipated to become a sade achuza, as opposed to our fellow who bought his father's field. So although he was really madrasha at that point, but since from the get-go it was something which was anticipated, it was slated to become his inheritance, slated to be reclassified as ste'achuza, in which case it has that status all along. So if his father died, eventually he gets the sadachuza rate. Okay, as opposed to our story, where a person was magdish, the tree isn't on the property, so of course he has to issue two payments, one for the tree's value and one for the property, $50 per chemiser. Despite the fact that now it's already one package, because we don't focus on now, necessarily. The fact is, it was given as two separate donations, which requires two separate redemption processes. Okay, so in a nutshell, Asad Achuza has a flat rate, 50 shekel per base zerach ha-mesa'irim, irrespective of the actual farm value. Now, according to Tanakhama, it only applies to Asad Achuza. Rav Huna adds that when a person is magdish, he's buying yofen magdish, if he gives away an area full of trees, an orchard, it requires two separate payouts, one for the actual value of the trees and one for the base zerach ha-mesa'irim, 50 shekel for the field itself, based on Ayin Yafa Magdish, but according to Rav Shimon, Ayin Rav Magdish, it would be one payout, the Chamishim Shekel payout for the entire package, unless we have all those cases where it was two separate donations, and I have to treat it separately, two separate redemption processes. I took us into a discussion of a fellow who was Magdish afield that eventually he inherited, which treated it like a Sadeh Achuza, according to Rav Meir, only when he was Magdashit as a Sadeh Achuza, according to Rav Shimon, even if he was Magdashit as a Sadeh Mikvah, eventually it became a Sadeh Achuza, which treated it accordingly. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Papa. Okay, so we speak about the flat rate, the 50 shkalim per area. Let's say it's not really a plantable field. Higdish Trushin, he was Magdash, this rocky soil, this rocky tract of land, which is not really fit for cultivation. In this case, Poiten B'Shamyan, when he redeems its face value, its actual market value, as opposed to the flat rate, my time, you know why? Base Zera Amar Rachmana. That flat rate applies to a base Zera, an area meant for planting. Vanilav B'nei Zriyanin, as opposed to, these, which are not fit for that purpose. Loi Ga'olam. Now suppose he failed to redeem it. Now typically, in that case, the caretaker of the Hegdish would give it, distribute it to the Kehanim when the Yovel comes. Rashi says he didn't redeem it, and the Gizbar, the treasury, sold it to somebody else, and now it's Yovel, it's backed by the Hegdish, and the Halacha is, it's given out to the Kehanim for them to keep. And the question is, sure, but does that apply to this type of situation where it's not really a plantable field? Loi Ga'olan. The answer is yes. Yoitzin, look, they add the word the Kehanim, v'yovel. In this case as well, it's given to the Kehanim. My time and why? Sada Amar Chaman Kodu. The Torah instructing the Hegdash to give the Kehanim the field uses the word Sada rather than base Zera, which is the term used by the flat rate. Here it just says Behoya has Sada, but say so by Yevil, let's give it to the Kehanim. Look, technically it's also a field. It's not very valuable, not very productive. So it's also included in that system. My time of soda, marachmon, koldu, any type of soda. Now, when a person sells, up until now we spoke about being magdish a field. When you sell your field, the halacha is you have to allow the buyer to enjoy the field a couple of years before you go back and force them to sell it back to you. At least 2 years. What about if it's a rocky, unplantable type of field? Do you have to wait for 2 years? Have to wait for two seasons to pass before approaching the buyer for a buyback? Macha Troshen, he sold these Troshen. Nigolim Paches Mishtei Shanim. There is no 2 year wait before buying it back. My time, you know why? Especially Netfuos Amarachmana. Torah says, you know, wait for two crops, two seasons. Vahilav Netfuoninu, but this field is not really, you know, up to that. It's not fit for growing, for planting. So you don't have to wait 2 years. Loigala, on the other hand, suppose he did not rebuy it from the from his customer. Loigala. The halach is that really when you buy a field, it's only yours until yayvel. So in this case, the seller did not come to buy it back and stayed in the hands of the customer until yayvel. Does it revert back to Reuven, you know, the seller's possession? Yeah, chayzeres lebalam yayvel, despite it not really being a plantable field. My time, you know why? Because in terms of, you know, restoring ownership, the pasuk says v'shavlachu zasoi. So it goes back to its original, you know, ownership. Okay, it goes back to the original estate holder. Well, after all, it's still an estate, as non-productive as it may be, but technically it's still labeled as an achuzah. Right? So, yeah, so he deserves to get his field back. My time, v'shavlach huzos amrachmona. So he's restored to his estate. V'haynam yachuzahi, even this field qualifies as an achuzah. V'haynam yachuzahi. Next case, hegdish ilonis. A fellow was magdish just trees. Okay, specifically just the trees, without the property beneath it. Poyde b'shavyei. How does he buy it back from Hekdesh? As per actual face value. My time, huh? Why not employ the 50 shekel, you know, flat rate system? Base zera amarachman. V'lo ilon. Torah speaks about a plantable field, not trees. Trees are just like any other items. Loi Golan, on the other hand, if he failed to buy it back from Hagdish, right? Ein yotzin l'kahanam b'yevel. In this case, it will not be given to the kahanam, as opposed to a field which is typically given. In this case, not. Once again, v'hoi ha-sada marachmona. Torah speaks about a sada given to the kahanam. Loi ilonis, but not trees. Mocher ilonis. Let's say he sold trees to his friend. Do you have to give that customer 2 years? Do you have to wait 2 years before buying it back? Yes. You can't compel him to sell it back to you less than 2 years after the sale. My time, you know why? So even though they're not really sada, but the Torah does not specify sada. The Torah says 2 seasons, 2 crops, 2 years of growth. And even trees can produce, so it qualifies and you have to wait. What about Leg Olam? He did not redeem it from his buyer. Now it's down the road, it's Yovel. Does the seller get it back like he would get a field back? No. Ein chazeres labalam b'yovel. In this case, it doesn't go back to my time. You know why? V'shavlach huzasam rachmon. Torah speaks about restoring the estate. V'lo ilonais. As opposed to trees, which don't qualify. Amar ma, let's go back to the halacha of hikdash ilonais. Pay the b'shavyan. So he donated just the trees only. How does he buy it back from the hekdash? By offering actual value. So there is no karka involved. Amai, why? Why is it only trees? The fact is that the trees should go along with the land beneath the trees. So not only the trees should be kaddish, the land, the earth right below the trees, under the trees, and therefore when he goes to be poida, it should be based on a land rate, which is a 50 shekel rate. She only gave away the trees and not the property. Now they tell us by a sale, you sell a tree, man the masban le dikla, a fellow who sells a dikla, a palm tree, the to his friend, the guy acquires not just a tree, the customer is now in possession of the land directly beneath the tree as well. Mishi Pela from right under the tree. Ba'atoyim until all the way to the depths of the earth, all the way to China. So when you're Magdish, assumingly the same thing happens. No, love me at Ma'ala, but haven't we explained on that halacha? It's not an automatic transfer. When you sell trees, it's trees. But we speak that he has a claim. Machmas Taina. He says, look, we spoke to include the karka as well. So in that case, he gets it all the way down. But when you just magdish the trees, to the hegdish, it stays just trees. So they make nice and shove you. So in contrast to this day, Achuza, where it's, you know, a family estate that you were magdish, redemption system is based on the flat rate, 50 shekel per the area that you can plant the kura of Seir. But by Sadeh Mikna, where you bought the field, not really yours as a family estate, you bought it, so if you magdish it, sure, you can be paid there, but nice and shavi based on actual value. Toner Rabbanan. So the pasuk by Sadeh Mikna reads like this. It says, V'chishev li ha-koin, the koin will calculate for him, es michsas, the amount of erkach of the value. And, you know, that's what he's going to pay out. Ma Talmud Lomer. So, what is the pasuk coming to teach us? I mean, isn't it obvious that you buy it back by offering the actual value? Ma Balumet. The answer is the Vishanamer, because we know that by the Sode Achuzah there is a flat rate. Vishanamer Zerochayim Yasoirim, right? Bacham Mishim Shagel Kesef. So perhaps it applies to this case as well. Yochel. Av Sadeh Mikna Kein. Perhaps even a Sadeh Mikna goes by the same rule. Tam Leimar, Michsas. Michsas teaches us, no. Sadeh Mikna, it's about actual value, as opposed to flat rate. Plaza Oimar, no, he disagrees. As per he did in the Mishnah, right? Plaza Oimar, Emar Kan Vechishav. The Sadeh Mikna goes by the same system. How do I know? Because there's a Gzeir Shava that links the two. By Sadeh Mikna it says V'chishav, and likewise by Sadeh Achuz it says V'chishav. V'nemer lahan V'chishav, ma lahan, just like over there, it is a davar kotzav, a fixed rate, afkan davar kotzav. Likewise over here by Sadeh Mikna, it's a fixed rate system. Now the Rabban disagreed, right? They differentiated. Is it because they don't adopt this Gzeir Shava at all to link the two? Or perhaps they do adopt Gzeir Shava to a limited sense. That although in terms of the determination of the rate, they're different, but regarding another matter, perhaps they are alike. Which other matter? The Chaimish halacha. See, by the Sadeh Achuzah, if the owner comes to redeem it, he has to add a fifth. Perhaps the same would apply to Sadeh Mikna through this Gzeir Shava that links them. Or perhaps they're totally tapped, separate system, and they don't match up. The question was posed like this. Rabban, is Lu Gzeir Shava, do they hold of this linkage? Umafkin le chaimish, they apply to the chaimish halacha, to apply chaimish to mikne just like Sadeh Achuzah, or less Lu Gzeir Shava, they at all do not hold Gzeir Shava, less Lu chaimish, and therefore there's no chaimish by Sadeh Mikne, just like there's no flat rate, it's a different system than Sadeh Achuzah. Amar Rava, Mistabra, less Lu Gzeir Shava, makes sense that they don't hold Gzeir Shava. Why? Midigale, and in which case, not only is there no flat rate for Sadeh Mikna, there is no Chaimish either. Why would I say that? Medigal Rachmana Chaimish, Gaba Sadeh Achuzah. Because the Torah already presents, teaches us the Chaimish idea in a couple of places. Gaba Sadeh Achuzah, that's one place. And also, Vagabe Magdish Beisei. Fellow donated his home and comes back to rebuy it, he has to add a fifth. So it's a repetition in a sense, right? What happens then? Whenever the Torah repeats something, it has a limiting effect. Otherwise, just say it once and apply it everywhere. Rubber stamp it everywhere, right? So the fact that it says it here and there, it has a limiting connotation. Havalei shnei ksuvin. Habon ke'echad. Now we have two psukim that converge on the same matter, repeat the same idea. Chol shnei ksuvin, habon ke'echad. Now we have two psukim on the same matter. Eim alavden. It's limited. And you can't apply it elsewhere. But according to the opinion that holds that he could rubber stamp even a duplication, so why are you limiting it? The answer is it's more than just twice, it's many times over. We find multiple citations of this halach to tell you that it's limited to those cases. Midgal Rahman, once the Torah presents the idea of the Chaimish, one time it's by B'maser, A person redeems his master sheni. But behema tahira, he redeems his kosher animal that he donated to the hegdish and got a blemish, right? Ube behema tmeya, by the unkosher animal that he donated to the Bedek HaBayis, to the maintenance fund, and he's coming to redeem it. So it's discussed over and over again, aside from the Sadeh Achuz that we mentioned, Havali Tuva. So it's numerous. Citation of the same halacha ve'im alam to teach us that it's limited to those cases, and those cases only, in which case it does not apply to Sadeh Mikneh. So bottom line, according to Rava, just like in terms of the actual rate, Sadeh Mikneh is different than Achuzah. Likewise, there's no chaymish by Mikneh in contrast to Achuzah there is. And it's based on the fact that we have multiple citations of chaymish to tell you, stop there and don't apply it elsewhere. Concludes the Gemara, Tanya Kavasei the Rava. In fact, there's a brisa which supports Rava's assertion that there's no chaymish by Sadeh Mikneh according to Rabbanan. But let me tell you, not based on his reasoning of the multiple citations, based on a different reason. Tanya, we have a brisa. That's the pasuk by the Sadeh Mikneh. So it's interesting that the pasuk refers to a word which sounds like erech, b'michsas ha'erkecha, to teach us heikisha kasov le'erechan, to connect the redemption of a Sadeh Mikneh to the concept, to the erechan system. Just like by erechan, my erechan emay sebchaim, there's no chaimish there. You pledge, you pay. There's no added fifth. Af Sadeh Mikneh mesim chaimish. Likewise, no chaimish by Sadeh Mikneh. So the halacha is correct. Says the Gemara, but based on a different reason than Rava presented. Okay. So bottom line, in terms of rates, Sadeh Achuzah is a 50 shekel per base zerach ha'misoirim. But it has to be a plantable type of place, right? As opposed to the Trushan, right, the rocky area that we discussed. By the trees only, again, there's no bezera there, it's not a plantable area, it's trees, right, it's not a field. What about a chaymish? Yeah, if the owner comes to redeem his own field, he has to add a fifth by Sadeh Mikneh. Both ideas do not apply, according to the Rabbanan, as opposed to Rabbi Lezer, who says that in terms of the rate, that applies to Sadeh Achuz as well, but as he said in the Mishnah, even he agrees that chaymish is limited to Sadeh Achuz. Says the Mishnah, another example of a flat rate, a non-fluctuating rate, independent of the actual value or the actual damage that occurred. B'shar Amud, right? We have a habitual gorer, a dangerous ox, that killed, Shemus's Evet, killed an Evet, an Evet Kanani. Okay, so he killed your friend's Evet. Torah sets forth a flat rate, 30, selah, 30 shekel, right? Irrespective of his actual value, or his productivity, or his talents, right? Lahakul lahachmer. So it can come across as being, more severe than you would think, or less severe, right? Ketzah, for instance, echad shemus esanosh ba'avadim. Whether the animal killed the most impressive looking, eved, v'esakor shabavadim, or the most ugly eved, it's still the same rate. Noisin shleishim sela. It's the rich sela. But Hamas ben Chayr, let's say he killed a regular free man, regular Yid, Nason Shavi, in this case, it's not a flat rate, it's actual market value that he has to forward to the heirs. Chavav Zevazeh, third example, let's say there was an injury, whether it's to an Eved or to a ben Chayr. In this case, again, there's no flat rate, Nason Nezek Shalom, he has to pay full damages as per the diminishment of market value. Now, the Gemara figured that the Alocha, that he pays full damages, only applies to a Mu'ad, which was the opening statement of the Mishnah. The Mu'ad in, only by a Mu'ad, is the halacha. That the owner has to pay full rate for damages. But tamlay, but not by an innocent ox who, is not known to have a track record of violence. Is that true? That by a tam, there's no full payment? You get, 50% discount? Just like when the tam animal injures another animal. It's a 50% liability. So perhaps the same when he attacks a person. But tamlay. Well, that's unlike Rabbi Kiva. Lema mas nisim like Rabbi Kiva. Perhaps we're not like Rabbi Kiva, who holds that, when an animal injures another animal, if it's a shor tam that did it, 50% discount. But when it's interaction with a person, he gets billed in full. So like Rabbi Kiva, that's not. Rabbi Kiva Omer, let's say there was an entanglement between an animal and a person. They're battling away, and the business assesses that the net loss happened to the person, so the damage to the animal, offsetting the damage to the person, still ended up with a net damage to the person. Aftam shechav al bad b'ivin atam, that injured a person, mishalom b'moisa, I'll pay for the balance, nezek shalem, full rate, full damages, no discounts. And he learns it from the psukim, right, that when there's a person involved, there's no 50% discount for the animal owner. Whereas our Mishnah seems to indicate otherwise. No, afilu tam Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah can follow Rabbi Akiva as well. But then afilu tam nami. The truth is, even a tam would be fully liable for damaging a person. 100% liability. The Mishnah did not mean to limit it to a mu'ud. It's just that va'aydi the kabay mishnah seifa hemes evet hemes ben chayr. It's just that in that next case there, we had to speak about the we alluded to a case where the animal killed, right? It killed an eved, it killed a ben chayrin. Rashi says safer doesn't necessarily mean literally safer than the next part of the the last part of the Mishnah. It just means the continuation of the first part of the Mishnah. In any case, it was a reference to having killed an eved or a free person, which is really the subject matter of our Mishnah, to the friendship between the fixed rate and the non-fixed rate. Which is, that's specific to a mu'ud. Only a mu'ud has this flat rate system. The mu'ud and mishkachas only applies to a mu'ud, but not by a tam. But tam le'mishkachas, that's not found by a tam. That's why the Mishnah, started off by reference to a mu'ud, on account of that case, but in reality, the last case of the Mishnah, of the Chaval, would apply to both Tam or Muad. In either case, if it involves injuring a person and damaging a person, he's Chayiv Nezek Sholem, regardless of whether he's a Tam or a Muad. Okay, we'll pick it up tomorrow with Hashem. And let me tell you what we learned. We spoke about the flat rate for the Erechin, irrespective of the actual value of the person. We spoke about the refraining from admiring a guy. We spoke about the flat rate of the Saudi Achuza as well. And we spoke about what happens when there are trees involved, Kotar of Hunam, Bayan Yafa Magdish. So there are two separate redemption processes, one for the actual trees, for the actual value of the trees, and one for the flat rate on the property. We have the opposing Shita, which is Reb Shimon, that we say Magdish Bayan Roy Magdish, he has no intention on, being so generous. Actually, you Magdish, at a minimum. We spoke about whether we focus on the moment of Hegdish or on the status at the moment of Pidyon regarding other matters as well. And then we spoke about the rocky field, how do we classify it? On the one hand, it's not really plantable. On the other hand, it's called a Sada. It's called an Achuza, but it's not really something which can make Shnei Tvois, right? Back and forth. So it's sort of a mid-designation. We spoke about how to redeem the process of redemption on the Sodei Mikna, and then proceeded to the next mission regarding the flat rate that applies to an Ebed as well. All the best to you, and Atzlacha Rabbah.